Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, I'm freaking tired.
Yeah?
I know what's wrong with me.
What's wrong with you?
I'm tired.
Yeah?
It's Thursday. I wish it was Friday.
Yeah, amen.
I've got, I don't know if I've got the preseason blues.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting ready. I want teal and white to happen,
yeah.
Which I don't think I'd ever say that sentence again.
What do you mean? We say it every year.
I want teal and white to happen?
We say every single year we get
and then
excited.
After it happens, and how do we feel?
Not good.
Terrible.
Yeah.
And next week we'll be sitting here after the teal and white game.
Yeah.
And we'll feel terrible again.
Right.
It'll be 1-0.
Right. And then someone's going
to... We won't even see, like, you know, evidently Niemi and Nidamaki are going to be out for a combined, you know, 72 weeks.
Right. Yeah, everybody's hurt all of a sudden.
Hanzus hasn't even bothered to come to the right country.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's got a decent excuse.
I understand.
Dude. You can't give
right.
Hanzus
you're
crap.
Right. I know. I'm not.
Okay.
I take it back.
All right.
I told you I have the preseason blues.
I understand. Yeah, we're going to get excited about teal and white. And the next week this time, we're going to come back and we're going to say how lame teal and white is. It's like a yearly tradition of ours, dude.
Yeah.
It's
I don't
a even September
wanna,
tradition.
Right now, I don't want to go.
Really? You're going to want to go by Tuesday.
I want to go.
Yeah, me too.
Stupid.
I know.
So stupid, dude.
I know.
Well, surprisingly enough, we actually have lots of stuff to talk about. Mostly thanks to the timely reporting of David Pollock, the beat writer of the San Jose Sharks for the San Jose Mercury News, has come out with a bunch of information from the very beginning of training camp, the end of the Young Stars tournament, and some other bits of business to take care of. I guess as since we're talking about training camp, and I believe it begins tomorrow.
Right.
Am I right?
I think that's right.
Gosh, we're going to get zinged for not having our facts straight.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Matt D'Agostini. So, dude, we were wondering who the training camp invites might be. We've seen the Devils have like five guys, you know.
Every Devil that's ever played for them, Peter Sikora and so forth.
The most interesting one to me that they have is Anton Strahlman.
Right.
Is a training camp invite. We've talked about this guy to go from being a young, promising player in the NHL to literally no one wants to give you a guaranteed contract.
Yeah.
That's bad news. And they also are bringing in Steve Bernier, baby.
Yeah.
Steve Bernier.
Hey.
Lots of training camp invites out in New Jersey.
Yeah, that's true. And now news this past week that the Sharks have invited Brad Winchester.
Yes, Brad Winchester, formerly of the St. Louis Blues, and was traded mid-season last year to the Anaheim Ducks. He fought three times against the Sharks last year, twice against the former Shark known as Jamal Mares, and once in a Ducks uni, he fought Douglas Murray. I always wonder how, is that odd at all? Like,
I don't think so. You know, one of my favorite writers on the Puck Daddy blog, I mean, I like Greg Wyshynski, you know, he's the main editor guy, but there's a guy named Justin Bourne who has played college hockey, and he played some ECHL, and I think he might have played a little bit of AHL hockey.
He did, yeah.
And I really enjoy his articles because he gives that sort of behind-the-curtain look into, you know, things that, you know, real, like, hardcore hockey fans would really be interested in, stuff like, what's it like to play your team after you get traded from them, all this kind of stuff, and you know, I think we know from, you know, as closely as we follow hockey that usually enforcers and guys that fight a little bit are usually some of the nicest guys in the locker room. So I don't anticipate there being any weird bad blood between
right.
Brad Winchester and Douglas Murray. I mean,
they're just doing their job.
They're doing their job, and it's not like any dirty stuff was happening. It's not like, you know, it's not like the Marty McSorley, you know, Donald Brashear thing where you hit somebody in the head with your stick. I mean, you know, having a little tussle now and again is just part of the game, and I don't think there's going to be any hesitation on either player to, you know, say hello and all that kind of stuff. So Brad Winchester seems to always kill the Sharks. That's the one thing I always remember about Brad Winchester. It's like, I remember one time he had like two goals against us one night. I mean, this guy's a fourth liner. Two
right.
goals against the Sharks. Great.
It's a former second round pick of the Edmonton Oilers back in 2000. He's going to be 31 this year. I think he is 31. Let's see, 1981.
Yeah,
he is 30. He'll turn 31 during the season. Last year, he hits anything that moves,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have the skill set to be that guy who we're craving on the third line, which is a whole nother topic that we'll get to next as we talk about the signing of Kyle Wellwood that was and then was not in a matter of 10 minutes. I don't know if the odds of Brad Winchester making this team, I suppose, are slim, dude. Do you think?
Yes. Looking at the history of Sharks tryout invitations, has anyone caught on from a tryout?
Yeah, I guess, does Claude Lemieux count? I mean, I guess he tried out through...
He
took the long way home, right?
Right. I mean, he went through the AHL.
But the most recent tryouts that I can remember, you know, last year we had...
Dan Hinote?
No, that was 2 years ago, right?
2 years ago.
Dan Hinote and Matthew Dandineau were
right.
2 years ago. Last year was Andres Lilja.
That's right.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
And Lilja ends up playing for the Ducks, and he actually got a guaranteed deal this year for the Flyers. So Hinote, I anticipated was going to make the team. He didn't play that badly in the preseason, and then they played him almost every night. I think they really thought about it, and they ended up going with someone else.
Right.
So I think Winchester's going to get a good long look, and can he beat out Fraser McLaren, who I guess had a hip procedure and maybe isn't even available right now? And can he beat it? There's the real person that we're talking about here is Brandon Mashinter.
Or Desjardins.
Desjardins, I think, is a lock.
You think so?
Yeah. This is a different player. I mean, Desjardins is the pest up the middle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's the fourth line center. I think he's going to have to really screw up.
What about Andrew Murray?
Andrew Murray is in the mix.
He's signed, right?
Sure. Yeah.
He's
on a two-way deal.
That's true.
So he could go down. It wouldn't be shocking, dude, if the fourth line was Desjardins, Murray, and Winchester. It would not be shocking.
Right.
And that would just be the same thing that we had last year, just with the different names, really.
Essentially, yes.
Just different guys, the same idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
Different guys doing the jobs with the same idea, this kind of veteran hodgepodge of guys. You know, Murray and Winchester both have reputations for being big hitters.
Well, we'll talk about the third line in a minute, but I do want to talk about all the injuries that seem to have popped up. It looks like Pollock is reporting that Niemi had a minor procedure, but he's going to bounce back. But now Nidamaki's going to be out for quite a while. And we have
the same problem, right?
And
that groin.
And then Havlat is banged up here.
Well, Havlat evidently had shoulder surgery or a shoulder procedure, I think they're calling it, in May after he got hurt at the World Championships in Slovakia. So they knew about it when they traded for him. Evidently, Doug Wilson loves to stockpile injured Minnesota Wild players because James Shepherd, according to Pollock, is at least 2 months away from even getting on the ice.
Right.
Right? So... that's not good. Isn't ready for another 2 months with Shepherd, but we're not even really talking about him. Havlat, they consider him day to day. So I can't imagine Havlat's not going to be ready by opening night. Dude.
Right. I think so too.
I don't think we're going to see him at Teal and White.
And no.
I don't think we're going to see him till the very end of the preseason.
You know what? I think we might see him at Teal and White because it's sort of an introduction for the fans.
Oh, he'll be on the ice and he'll wave his skate and then he'll plant his ass on the bench. He will not skate. You think he's going to skate a moment of Teal and White? They'll even risk that?
I mean, it's practically the all-star.
Then Tommy Wingles loses his mind again and checks him?
And then Brad Winchester will happily beat the crap out of him. No.
I just don't know if they're even going to...
I think he'll skate around a little bit.
Maybe.
I think, you know, he's skating. I think he's going to participate in training camp. So he'll play around a little bit. It's a bit of a scrimmage. It's not even... And then maybe might set him out a couple preseason games.
Because
that's when you get, the young kids, they want to, you know, try to make an impression, and they go and just run around like cannonballs and try to hit everybody.
So they say Niemi had a cyst removed. I'm not even seeing where, Niemi, a minor procedure. They're not even saying this where this cyst was from.
Right.
I think that can be a fairly minor procedure.
It could be very minor.
I don't know if we should be concerned about Niemi's health for the beginning of the year based on that, but dude, I think we should be very concerned about Antero Nidamaki and his availability for the next apparently 3 months, and also for this season, dude. What's your take on this, and do you feel comfortable with Thomas Greiss as your second goalie?
I wouldn't say I feel comfortable, but I feel a whole lot better that he's back as opposed to not being back. And maybe that was sort of one of those little reasons why they signed him, because they knew Nidamaki wasn't 100%, and maybe right. they had a worry that he wasn't going to be anytime soon. So with Alex Stalock recovering from a really bad injury, and it doesn't sound like Stalock's even going to get on the ice until January or February, maybe even later. You know, it's funny how we've talked about how the Sharks are pretty goalie rich at this point, but for number two goalies at the NHL level, they're actually a little bit shaky there. So with Nidamaki out, obviously. So
right.
signing Greiss actually turns out to be a pretty good deal. When that happened, we sort of looked at each other and went, "What?" But actually, in retrospect, it seems like a fairly decent deal. It's a little bit of insurance, and I wouldn't feel too bad to see him play some NHL games, get some NHL time. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
The what went to
okay,
yeah. Makes sense now. Yeah, but the Sharks prospects, other than Stalock, not really apparently NHL ready. Harry Sateri, I'd love to see him play in person. I can't remember seeing him play last year in training camp, if we did or we didn't.
I don't think so.
Tyson Sexsmith apparently is not going to be
slipped down the depth chart,
an NHL caliber goalie at this point in his career. And Pollock did make a mention that Doug Wilson was very encouraged by Stalock's recovery. So they didn't set a timetable on when that's going to be, but you know, getting repairs on a severed nerve, right, is that's a lot bigger deal than having a cyst removed from
wherever. I actually knew a guy once who had a cyst removed literally from his earlobe. So it can be about as minor as you can imagine.
Wow.
So, you know, that's like, oh, get a stitch in your earlobe and then you just walk away and you're fine.
Yeah, so I don't, it's got to be a little bit more of a bigger deal than that for them to mention it.
Well, you never know.
Niemi had a deep gum cleaning. He's unavailable for 3 days.
He's day-to-day.
Stop eating all that pickled herring.
He's day-to-day with gingivitis.
There are some other Sharks injuries that we should probably mention just sort of briefly. Tony Lucia and James Marcoux, I think is how you say his name, are dealing with post-concussion syndrome. Those are not guys, I think, who are going to be real contenders for roster spots at the beginning or during the season. Really, these are AHL depth players at this point. So both of them are not participating in training camp. Nick Petrecki had a hip procedure in the offseason, dude, in his day-to-day. They didn't say not out for 4 weeks. He's day-to-day. The same with Fraser McLaren. I'm hopeful that Petrecki is going to be able to get out there and play in a couple preseason games and just kind of test himself against a few NHL caliber players, dude.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That would be nice.
Dude, should we move to the third line discussion?
Because I think this is prompted by the false report that Kyle Wellwood on, it was either Thursday or Friday night last week.
Right.
The news comes out through Spectre, who's usually right on target, saying that Kyle Wellwood has signed a one-year, $700,000 deal to play with the San Jose Sharks. And I texted you, I texted a couple other people, and I have to admit, first of all, your response to that was, wow. All right?
Yeah.
Now, I want to find out from you, was that, wow, what a great deal, or, wow, that signing is a piece of shit?
I guess I'm going to have to bleep that out. It was more like, wow, this timing makes no sense.
Right.
Because it seemed to be like Wellwood was pining for an offer from the Sharks and the Sharks weren't giving him one. And then all of a sudden they're going to give him one in September. It's like, huh? So that's what the wow was. I wouldn't say my initial reaction was, man, this is like a terrible deal. But I'm sure if it did actually happen, and you know, I didn't find out 10 minutes later that it wasn't with the Sharks, I probably would have thought about it and said, you know what, this doesn't really fit with the way the Sharks are looking to make the third line, you know, with Michael Hanzus and, you know, getting these larger players like, you know, Brad Winchester's 6'5". You know, they seem to be going with size and speed. And I wouldn't say size or speed is our Kyle Wellwood's main advantages. So, yeah, that it just would seem to be, you know, just a sort of a shot at a left field that didn't really make any sense. So that's what I meant with wow. Like I said, last year, you know, during the season, I was pretty pleasantly surprised with Kyle Wellwood. He had a really good Corsi and all, you know, advanced stats. His numbers were actually really pretty good. So I was pretty happy with him as a player, but it seemed like the Sharks moved in a different direction. And so that's what that meant.
Yeah. I was very disappointed when I read that, and I'm very grateful that it's not true. So I just don't think that's the right move. I mean, I tried to sort of justify it to myself. Well, okay, it's depth for the top two lines, and someone goes out, he's capable of filling in there. But I would have just looked at that as being just not an improvement in a lot of ways where we've improved.
Right.
That spot on the third line, that wing spot with Mitchell and Hanzus, you're assuming those are the two guys, putting Wellwood out there. Just don't think that takes the Sharks to the level they need to go to.
Right.
And it would have just been same old disappointment. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that was not the case.
Right, right. Well, it seems like, and it looks like Tom on the blog is maybe taking a little bit of issue with our sentiment that the Sharks have moved in a different direction and they're trying to move sort of away from a scoring third line, which they seemed to have last year with Pavelski centering the third line with Wellwood. And I guess Mitchell and sort of some other guys, it seemed like Heatley dropped down there at some point. But he says, you know, Doug Wilson has said in the press that, you know, he's looking for guys to chip in chip in some goals. He wants more scoring out of the third line. So do you agree with that? You think we were sort of too hard on the third line and they've really gone in this different direction, or you think Tom's right?
No, I think Tom is right that the third line has to contribute, but there's a certain type of player that's able to do that for you. Like, I think Rafi Torres, as much as you may love or hate him, mm-hmm. is that type of guy. I mean, he is capable of scoring goals.
Right.
I mean, he's had 19 goals in his season. Mm-hmm. He had, I don't know, 14 last year. He had 7 points in the playoffs. I mean, he's not Brad Winchester.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. I mean, Brad Winchester is not going to be the answer there.
Right.
And I don't think that's the intention. But the Sharks need to find, and this is a tough player to find, but they've got to find their... God, I know people don't like Rafi Torres. They got to find their Torres. They got to find their Brad Marchand. Who is our Brad Marchand?
Yeah.
Who is that guy?
It's hard to find a guy like that.
That guy, you could say... Besides Tim Thomas, I mean, gotta be in the discussion for MVP of their playoff run. I mean, he was incredible.
He was very, very good.
Very, very good. And I think he's going to continue that stretch. Right. He's a very useful player. Who's going to be that guy? Do we have that guy right now?
No.
It's got to be physical. He's got to be able to play some defense, and he's got to be able to score 15 goals.
Right. It's not easy to find a guy like that.
No, it's not. But they exist, and I think that they're going to give Jamie McGinn the opportunity to do it.
I hope
they're gonna try,
because mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
it seems like maybe he has embraced now the idea of being that type of player.
Right.
He didn't do it perfectly at the end last year by taking 2 5-minute majors in the playoffs, but the idea was there. And in the Detroit series, they were scared of him. Like,
yeah,
they didn't want to play him.
My only response to that is, it seems like last year the Sharks sort of put all their eggs in the scoring basket. They went really hardcore in the Detroit mold, where the third line is going to be a third offensive weapon.
Right.
And that's their primary role as the third line. And I felt like that's the direction the Sharks went last year. And I feel like with the way that they've moved, especially Michael Hanzus, despite the fact that Hanzus has had some scoring punch in his career, with Philly, he was on the second line. You know, early in his career, he was with the Blues, and I think he might have been on the second line on the Blues. So he may not have had the same role early in his career as he does now. So I think the Sharks definitely have moved in a different direction in that they're not looking for third-line players whose primary advantage or benefit is that they can put points on the board. It seems like they've moved, you know, and Mitchell certainly qualifies too, is they've put guys on the third line that hopefully can put points on the board because you need that, but also serve a defensive role and aren't out of place. You don't want Kyle Wellwood on the penalty kill, right?
No.
You don't want Kyle Wellwood going up against Ryan Getzlaff. That's not, you know, it's like when you play Anaheim six times a year, okay, here comes Getzlaff. Okay, Wellwood, go get him, you know? But you'd feel very confident saying, okay, Hanzus, go get him.
Right.
And so I think the Sharks have moved in that direction. And so that's what I mean. I don't mean to say that, okay, you know, everybody on the third line scores five goals. That's good enough for me. It's not. It's not going to be good enough. But I think that if that's, they're not looking for guys that can only contribute goals.
It's the third line should have in the high 20s, low 30s, I think. Of points.
Points, okay, yeah.
You know, high 20s, not goals.
Yeah, I'm like, Mike
looked at me like I was insane for a moment. It's okay. High 20s, low 30s of points.
Okay, we got Ilya Kovalchuk for the third line.
You know, with Hanzus and Mitchell, you're getting, by their resume on paper, you're getting guys who are capable defensively and have some offensive ability. Hanzus has a track record. Mitchell, we've seen flashes of brilliance from him at times and breakaway speed.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find a partner for them on the other side, you know, on the right side, then that could be the third line answer. That could be the missing piece, dude.
Right.
And I don't know. McGinn's going to get the shot, but you know, I think we got a question
on Twitter
saying
any guesses as to who will be on the third line, say just before the trade deadline.
Peterson?
Is this Tom Pettersson?
Is it Tom Pettersson? Are you available?
Yeah.
Tom Pettersson.
That'd be cool.
Dude, I can't... I hate to play the fence on this, but yeah. I just can't even begin to speculate on that.
I have no earthly idea.
You know?
I know it's our job to throw out random, unsubstantiated opinions, which, you know, normally I'm perfectly happy to do so. But on this, it seems like there's the... You know, the whole wide world of sports out there, and we have no clue who's going to be on the move, who's going to move up, who's going to move down, you know, who's going to be available and who's not. So,
yeah, I mean,
we'd like to see Jamie McGinn or you know, I'll throw it out there. I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, Desjardins, who's been a third line agitator guy for the Worcester Sharks. Maybe he can step into that role if he's got enough.
What a story that would be.
Yeah. Why not?
I think Desjardins going to get every chance to be a guy who plays 70-plus games on the NHL level this year. And honestly, I'll be disappointed if he doesn't take advantage of the opportunity because I think he showed last year that he's definitely capable of it. I'm going to throw out one name just because, you know, all we do is speculate.
Basically.
If Buffalo goes in the tank, you know, and things don't go well for them, and it's a player, and gosh, dude, I don't even know if he necessarily fits perfectly into what we're talking about. But, you know, someone like Paul Gostad.
Oh, God, I love Paul Gostad.
He might be available. And we know that Doug Wilson loves to have the option of having two centers on a line.
Yeah.
So you've got Gostad, who's gigantic, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then you've got Hanzus, who's a big boy, too. And is Gostad especially physical? No, I don't know if he's like super physical. He's not a weenus, you know.
Big guy, though.
But he's up. He's in the last year of his deal. He's a big guy.
Yeah,
you know. He's got 101 penalty minutes last year.
Okay,
31 points. This is what we're talking about. I'm saying Paul Gostad.
Okay,
come on, put it. Do it.
Yeah, I know everybody in Buffalo loves Paul Gostad, so I'm sure that's going to happen.
Well, he's up for a raise, and they don't really have a lot of money left to go around. They just see German, then they're not interested. German. I heard they offered $5 million over 5 years to keep Jochen Hecht. Don't leave us, Jochen.
All right, dude. Should we move on to? I know we're still in the midst of our season previews, so maybe we should move on now to the Atlantic, and then maybe we'll cover do some quick shots at the end for some NHL news because there was a lot of that.
Yeah, sure.
So let's do the Atlantic again because we're gonna have a bet riding on what we think, how we think some of these teams are gonna do. We're not gonna rank these divisions as we normally do. You can listen to last week's podcast for the details on that bet. And, of course, we're going to be having our draft right before the season. But the five teams in their finishing order are Philly, Pittsburgh, the Rangers, the Devils, and the Islanders. So let's start with Philly. They went through a ton of changes. They basically shipped out half the team and replaced them with people. Wayne Simmons they got, Braden Schenn. Clearly, maybe the biggest signing of the offseason for them was giving Ilya Brizgalov the GDP of a small Central American country. They got Jacob Voracek, and they got Maxim Talbot for the third line, which is a guy that we coveted. And now they're bringing Jaromir Jagr back for another turn in the NHL. So it's going to be pretty crazy. They lost Chris Versteeg as well, other than Richards and Carter, and they lost Daryl Powell to Minnesota. So, they got a lot of turnover.
Everybody hates Chris Versteeg. Have you noticed that? Chris Versteeg, yeah. I mean, like fourth team in 2 years.
Like, he was going to be, like, the second-line guy for Chicago. Like, he was the man. And then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, get him out.
Toronto, Philly, Florida.
Maybe he's got really bad breath.
Is that it?
Yeah. They're like, oh, man.
Gotta be something else.
They're like, dude, Altoids.
Is the guy just, is he a grade-A tool? We'll never know.
I'm going with bad breath.
Okay, I like that.
So, what do you think about Philly here? Are they gonna find a way to keep going the way they're going in the vote of confidence for Chris Pronger over Mike Richards is gonna win out, or are they gonna hiccup here?
I think if things play out the way they would on paper, I think this team will be as good as last year, but the major question is Pronger's health.
Yeah.
If Pronger's not healthy, I wouldn't bet on the Flyers.
Yeah.
It's Pronger's health.
That's just too much of a piece, even though I love their decor and I love a lot of their defensemen.
It's a risk. And I hate the Brizgalov contract. I think they're really going to regret it. In 1 or 2 years, they're going to be going, what happened here? Why'd we do this?
Right.
When we could have had Vokoun, or you have someone like Nabokov, if you could have traded like a second round pick and had him for a year for $500,000 or whatever.
Essentially
and
nothing.
Instead, you gave a huge contract to a goalie who's really done nothing. I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad player, but he doesn't have an outstanding resume.
No,
so
certainly not as good as Vokoun in my opinion.
So I don't know.
There's a lot of
say something awful.
Okay, don't say it.
Don't.
Oh, go ahead.
Paul Holmgren. He was.
He got in that bike accident or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think he was regretting some of the moves and he threw himself in front of a car?
Given the summer that we've had, we shouldn't be making that joke, even though he just made it.
Oh, okay. We're gonna cut that out, I guess.
Probably not.
No, I think we will.
Maybe.
Now we're gonna have to cut it out.
I gotta bleep that. I can bleep anything. Let's move on to Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Not a ton of changes. Obviously, the big question mark is Sidney Crosby's health, right? Just like Pronger's health is a big turning point, the fulcrum for the Flyers. Sidney Crosby is gonna make or break Pittsburgh's season. If they don't have Sidney Crosby healthy, or if he sits out an extended period of time, Pittsburgh's going to be fine. They're not going to be terrible, but they're not going to be nearly the team that they were, that they expected when they won the cup, and they basically kept everybody, and they said, hey, sweet, dynasty time, and it's not really turning out that way. So they got Steve Sullivan. Okay. All right.
No, he could be very useful there. He really could.
I think so, too. And they've had problems with that that sort of, secondary scoring. They brought in who'd they bring in from the Ducks? They brought in what's that guy's name? Kunitz.
Yeah, he's been there for a while.
Yeah, he's been there for a while, but that
can't forget that they have James Neal too.
That's true.
I mean, it's a very interesting division. It's gonna be a tough one to call. We'll have to see when we pick our rankings to see where we think they're going to fall. But this division is much more wide open, I think, than it normally is due to some of the unknown injury situations. The New York Rangers, have added Brad Richards, dude. They add Mike Rupp. They keep most of their core players intact.
But they lost. I mean, they lost Matt Gilroy. They lost Frolov. They lost. I mean, these are not their core.
That's dead weight.
This isn't their core. They lost Vinny Prospel. They lost Chris Drury. They didn't re-sign Brian McCabe. I mean, they still had some guys leaving. I don't know if
you haven't
really
named anyone who I think that they're shedding a tear over.
Right, but do they have the horses to fill those holes?
Not sure.
That's the question, right?
But they got rid of a lot of dead weight. You know, I think they cut ties with some guys. Frolov, not good. Yeah. Matt Gilroy was a bust in New York. McCabe, maybe he'll still even be back. I mean, he's nowhere right now.
It's funny how they get rid of McCabe and Gilroy, and like Wade Redden isn't even in camp.
Right.
So I guess it's just clearly just a money move.
Does no one signed Chris Campoli yet, too?
No one has signed Chris Campoli. That's a team that could use Chris Campoli.
Yeah, I guess he's kind of playing chicken with people. I like what the Rangers have done this offseason. I don't know if it's enough to...
They gave Brad Richards an awful lot of money, man.
Yeah, but that's a team that...
I guess they can throw it around.
You know, you deserve... If you're going to put Gabrick out there, you're putting Richards and Gabrick together. Then you've got Dubinsky and Callahan. This team... Rangers could surprise some people this year. They really could.
They're in the mix. Okay, what about the Devils? Are they any better? I mean, they had a brutal beginning of the season, and
they're better just by showing at the end of the year that they had some sort of heart,
I suppose,
by their finish. But new coach, new players, not really, right?
Not really. I mean, no more Brian Ralston. No more, but they got rid of him, right?
Yeah, they did.
Arnott's gone, I think.
Arnott, no, they traded Arnott for Dave Steckel.
That's right.
Yeah, the Devils are. I think
there's nothing for me to get excited about.
Yeah, it is not exciting. It's not exciting, and they're all in on the Covey deal. And
right. Well, they kind of had to be.
We'll see if Pete DeBoer can get them going in the right direction, because what they had going on last year when the season started with, God, who was their coach, dude? It was a miserable...
It was Lemaire, wasn't it?
No. When the season started, it was a former Devil.
Oh, yeah. It was John McClane, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was John McClane. Uh-huh. What a miserable, miserable disaster that was.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother... But speaking of teams that actually might have something to be excited about, we got the Islanders. And while the Islanders may not be great next year, they got some young talent that's going to be pretty fun to watch over time. So, you know, I guess there's some stuff in the news about Josh Bailey all of a sudden. I guess there's some contract talks with Josh Bailey. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I think he still is unsigned.
But they re-signed Tavares and they re-signed some of these guys. And so, you know, there's some good young people in the Islanders organization, as crazy as that organization seems to be, they got some young guys.
The players who are there seem to want to stay.
Yeah, which is interesting. I don't think they have enough to make the playoffs or anything like that, or challenge for the division, but they're going to be more fun to watch next year than they were last year, and I think they're going to be more fun to watch than the Islanders, to be honest. So
than the Devils?
I mean, yeah, than the Devils.
Yeah, they might not be in last place.
Could happen.
They're going to be a difficult team to play.
Right.
You know? But until they can figure out their long-term future on the island, I think that team is just sort of overall screwed.
Yeah, they're in limbo, right? They're just in limbo because they got that terrible building.
Everything's up to date in Kansas City. Move on down. Come on over to Quebec.
Could happen.
We'll speak some French.
Dude, we're getting up on time, so let's talk about some of the other news, because there's a lot of different signings. Close to home, maybe the big one was Tamu's back for another year. He got $4 million.
Big surprise. I'm glad he did it now and didn't do it like halfway through the season like Niedermeyer.
Right.
So you know that they're not opposed to doing that down there in Anaheim, because everything's backwards in L.A.
Right. It's true. Well, so he's obviously still got a lot of ability.
Yeah.
And
great season last year. And what a deal for him at $4 million.
Yeah.
I mean, for the Ducks, I mean, it's a steal to get that kind of production.
It's amazing how productive and great of a player he still is.
Can he do it again? I mean,
yeah.
Can he do it again? You think so?
Yes.
Really? With Andrew Cogliano feeding you the puck, you're going to be able to do it?
I mean, I'm not saying he's going to have 50 goals, but I mean, he's going to be one of their best offensive players.
I'm calling it. I'm on predictions right now. I think Timu's going to get hurt. I think his body's going to break down. He's in great shape. He's a great athlete. I think this will be the year that he's not going to make it, and he might even retire during the middle of the year. That's my bold prediction.
I think he's still going to be their fourth best offensive player behind the top line.
Damn it. You're not supposed to say that.
Sorry.
Other signings, Brad Marchand, who we talked about earlier, he signed with Boston. I think it was 2 years, $5 million. That's a pretty great deal for a player that has such a huge impact. The Tyler Myers extension.
He got a lot.
In Buffalo.
Yeah, he got a lot of money.
He
didn't
did.
He?
Yeah, for a guy who had a regression last year, smart or maybe not so smart?
I think it's smart. You can't. I mean, he had a great rookie season.
What if he has an even worse year next year? His weird mustache kind of continues to linger.
Right, that could really hurt. That could really hurt his ability to play on the ice. That mustache.
Zach Bogosian. Speaking of young defensemen, he also signs a pretty friendly 2-year deal, I think, with the hopes that he can have a good season and then maybe cash in later, right?
I think that's the case, and everyone's wanting to hold on to their good young D. That's clearly the case.
No Drew Doughty still, dude.
Yeah, not that surprising. They seem to be like, the latest rumor is that the Kings have put a cap on his salary at the Anje Kopitar level, which I think is 6.8 per year. So they're saying, basically, we're not going to pay you more than Kopitar, who is a, you know, not that Doughty isn't proven, but he's still a young player. And, you know, we've certainly seen guys like Duncan Keith and Dion Phaneuf, like, look to be like, okay, slam dunk Hall of Famers. And then all of a sudden they don't look like slam dunk Hall of Famers for a year. So, you know, it's still possible that Doughty could have.
How many years has Doughty played in the NHL? Two?
Three? I think three.
Come on, dude.
I know.
I mean, this is a joke. I'm embarrassed for him. He wants $6.8 million
for 5 years.
Come on.
Because then he'll be able to get even more when he's an unrestricted free agent.
All you got
to
do is look down the road here and you see how the Sharks players and their ownership do business. Logan Couture could have been a world-class jerk about his contract. He has a huge year. He could have been holding out. He could have not signed an extension and given up his rights. Instead, he wants to be part of a winning formula. And obviously, Drew Doughty isn't willing to take that step. Right. So, to me, I say thumbs down to Drew Doughty. Get in there. But you know what? Don't, Meat. Don't.
Yeah.
Sit it out.
Sit it out and eat ho-hos for the next 2 months.
Do you think there is that history between Don Meehan and Dean Lombardi over the Nabokov holdout back with the Sharks?
It's possible.
That could be, I mean, that's his agent.
Yeah. I mean, I think
problem?
GMs have relationships with agents that represent a lot of people, and Don Meehan certainly represents a lot of players.
Make the call by the opening night. Is Drew Doughty in a Kings uni or not?
No.
No! I like it!
I say no.
I'm going to say yes. I think that Dean Lombardi is an even bigger tool than advertised if they don't have him in. That's huge problems for them.
Oh, yeah.
Then clearly they don't care about winning this year.
Well,
then Mike Richards will start drinking again.
And then it's
all over. It's all over.
What else we got, dude?
Dude, really quickly, I want to talk about the Young Stars tournament.
Okay.
I tried to watch. I watched the first 10 minutes of the first game, and then I wasn't able to. I wish there was a way to DVR it or to watch it on demand. You could only watch it live streamed on a website. So I didn't see much, dude. There was some real good coverage on Fins and Stitches.
And Fear the Fin, too.
And Fear the Fin had good coverage on it, too.
Yep.
I definitely
read all their posts on them.
On that, it seems like the players that stood out were Michael Scarbosa, seemed to have a real good tournament.
Right.
Seems to be quick, steady offensively. And there were some good remarks about Senna Akolast.
Akolazzi, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Akolazzi?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think so. He was born like in the Fremont area.
Right.
And then I remember when they picked him up as a free agent contract last year, because that was sort of a neat local, side story. So
they seem to think that he was the most promising defenseman, which takes me to my next point, which, you know, in this tournament, I wanted to see Taylor Doherty's name.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see Freddie Hamilton's name. And I didn't really read a lot about either of those two guys, which is pretty disappointing.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
it is.
This is a chance for these two guys who are supposed to be our top five prospects to stand out. And instead, these guys who are non-roster invitees are the ones that are kind of getting all the...
Yeah, getting all the pub.
All the pub? Mm. As a friend of mine would say, NTG. Not too good, dude. And the other little piece of news is the Sharks have announced that they're going to do dynamic pricing this year.
Oh, no kidding.
Just like what the San Francisco Giants do. So, you know, if you want to see, let's say you want to go see the Edmonton Oilers play and you want to sit upstairs, a ticket might be $30. But if you want to see the Detroit Red Wings play, that same seat might be $45.
Right.
So they're going to adjust it based on demand and based on the team. And a lot of teams are doing that. It seems to work out well for the Giants. So Sharks are going to give it a whirl, dude. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm glad we don't have to be subjected to that. It
doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We are locked in.
Yeah, we're locked
for
in.
For good or bad.
We're locked in for good. Dude, one last question here. I got it from Dave through questions at dudesonhockey.com. He said, curious if either of you had a chance to try out the new rink configuration at the South Rink on Sharks ice. Played there a few times and noticed the glass is a bit more give and the puck bounces a bit different off the boards than before. Dude, what do you think about playing on the South Rink at Sharks ice?
Well, I'll tell you. When I lace up the skates and I go out on the South Rink,
and you just fall down,
it'll be a cold, cold day. An HE double hockey stick, dude. Yeah. You know. Have you been on the South Rink, dude?
Yeah, I've played on the South Rink. And they've definitely changed the boards. They've changed the glass. I can't say I really go into the boards full tilt that much. And the South Rink has always been the best rink at Sharks ice because that's the Sharks practice rink, the one right next to their locker room. So the ice is always better. You always get a better cut. The boards are always better and the glass is always better. So I don't really notice much of a difference from the way it was before because, frankly, you know, I played on the, you know, I went and threw the puck around a little bit tonight and I played on East, and East is usually the second best rink, but in the North is always the bad rink. So, I'm just happy to play on South because it's always better than the other rink. So, no, David, I can't say I've noticed a huge difference. There's a little piece of rubber on top of the bench boards. It's weird. I don't understand what that's about, but that's really all I've ever noticed. So interesting question. Sorry, I can't have anything more in detail about that.
Finally, dude, before we take off, it is fantasy hockey time, dude.
Oh yes,
we have some spots still existing in our three leagues. We have Dudes on Hockey, Dudes 2, Burns Baby Burns, and Dudes 3, Dude Looks Like Corey Perry,
right?
We have some spots left. I think
in all of them,
in all of them, in very limited spots. I think in one league there's one, and in the other two, I think there's maybe three spots. So, dude, gosh, what's going to be the best way to do this?
We'll put it on the blog.
Yeah, I think what has to happen is we have to make the leagues public, and that means that anyone can join. So that means some random person could join it.
Sure.
But it also means our listeners could go. If you're listening to this right now, look at the blog, look at the password and the link, and go on there and sign yourself up. If it fills up mm-hmm. and you're interested in playing, send us an email at questions@dudesonhockey.com. And if we get enough emails to warrant opening a fourth league and us doing a fifth fantasy hockey draft,
oh man,
then we'll go ahead and do it, dude, because we're here for you.
That's right.
That's right.
We're all about the people.
So look on the post right now for the information. We're going to do it live, dude.
Yeah, do it live, dude. Absolutely. We'll do it live. Yeah, I'm trying to hit the button. But
we'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we hope to see you on the fantasy ranks, dude. So we'll be back next Tuesday after Teal and White.
Yeah.
And preseason is next week, dude.
Preseason.
We've got two home games, three games next week.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We're ready. We're cooking, dude. We're getting started.
Getting ready.
Let the injury report pile up.
Okay, dude. I will see you after Teal and White.
Okay, bye.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.